Good morning. Today's reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, "What are you doing?" Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter. Though a person may be weighed down by misery, since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? As no one has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has power over the time of their death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. All this I say as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. Let us pray. Father God, we just love and adore you. We thank you so very much for your word. Your word is truth. You are truth, Lord Jesus. You are so gracious and merciful to us. We thank you for all you have given us, for this day, for your word, for our church family, and for our pastor. Open our hearts and our minds, because we do want to hear what you have to say this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Carmela. Ecclesiastes. Passage today, all about navigating our relationship with authorities. He's writing a book of wisdom, and he's dealing with issues and things that don't make sense and chasing after the wind, and he's talking about authorities here. And who hasn't questioned authorities at some point in your life, right? Some of you are questioning authorities right now. One time or another, you question those in charge, whether it's, you know, government or your boss. Maybe you're the boss and you're questioning yourself. Relationships with authority can feel strained, and especially when decisions don't match what you think would be the right decision to make, right? Like, well, that's not the call I would do if I was. And so he's dealing with this, and this teacher, this preacher, the Koheleth, he's speaking on this, and so he's dealing with how can we live wisely under human authority when we know that humans are flawed beings, broken. And so when he turns to the passage, who is like the wise? Who knows the interpretation of things? A man's wisdom makes his face shine. The hardness of his face is changed. He begins the chapter not by focusing on the thing that he's going to talk about, which is authorities, right? That's the next verse. He begins by talking about wisdom. 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 Wisdom is not just about information. Because a lot of times that's what we think. Wise people just know a lot of things. Wisdom is a transformation. It transforms us. It doesn't just inform us, it reshapes us. It reshapes our posture. It softens our countenance. It helps us with right relationships with others. What the Bible will call righteousness with others. Help us to relate to another with grace. Wisdom, given from God, is a gift. And if we are filled with the wisdom of God that comes from Him, our approach to authority, which is what he's going to be talking about, especially with difficult or even unjust leaders, will be marked not by distrust or bitterness or negativeness or resentment or fear, which is tempting to do, right? We can fall, they're not making the decisions I want. They're not doing the things I want. They're just, and we get that bitterness. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you guys, well, I've been retired for a while, and let me remember. But instead of focusing on that, by calm confidence in God's sovereignty, God is sovereign. Think of Daniel. I'm going to reference Daniel quite a bit. I like Daniel's reflection of wisdom in the face of difficult or unjust leaders. His wisdom made room for his voice to be heard, even in a foreign place where they worshiped different gods, had different value systems. And he disagreed with them, but he did so with respect. And so the Koheleth, he continues on and says, I say, keep the king's commands because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in evil causes, for he does what he pleases. Be cautious and discerning how you engage with those in power. See, we don't have kings anymore. We have people in authority. And this isn't a blanket command for blind obedience. Just do whatever they say. That's not what he's talking about. He's advocating not for the submission to evil, but he's urging to avoid rash rebellion, which is often rooted in pride, often rooted in fear, not in faith. And we can see that on a large scale here in the United States, right? How many times has rebellion been out of fear? We see protests all the time happening. They're based on fear, not on faith. Or are they biased on someone's pride? It's got to be my way. We're reminded in Romans 13:12 that there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. That doesn't mean that every leader is righteous. Far be it. But what it does mean is that God is still sovereign over them. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember those three? Book of Daniel, love the book of Daniel. They were told to bow down at Nebuchadnezzar's idol, a giant chocolate bunny. Sorry, VeggieTales. And he refused. You know, if you've never seen the VeggieTales, I'm sorry, I grew up on them. They refused, but they did so with courage and humility, not disrespectful, but telling him that we will trust God even if he saves them or not. See, a lot of times we're like, well, I'll follow God if he saves me. I'll follow God if he does what I think he should do. But no, I'm going to follow God in the face of this with respect. I'm Nebuchadnezzar, I cannot do this. Our God has commanded us not to bow down to idols. And he will choose to save us or not from the fiery furnace. A lot of times we forget the or not part. And so he says, we're gonna fight. So this the Koheleth here, he's going on the same vein here. He said, we respectfully must follow God, not give in to evil passages, not give in to evil ways, but with respect, realize that God is sovereign over all the leaders of the land and has even turned us over to the desires of our heart when it comes to leaders. It means if the desire of our heart is for a godly leader, we have a godly leader. However, the desires of our heart, and I'm not talking about your heart individually, our hearts. He says, the Koheleth continues on, he says, for he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it is to be? No man has the power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. Even kings, no matter how powerful, face limitations. They don't know the future. And they can't avoid death. Their commands, they may be enforced now, sometimes by force, right? In his day, the king's command was often enforced by force. Even today, what happens if you don't do what, let's say, the president commands? You're going to go to jail. That's how it works. Try not paying your taxes. They're going to come after you. Their command may enforce now, but in the end, their reach stops. Stops at the grave when they die. It's a humbling truth for both leaders and followers. Those in power are not gods. And under authority, we don't need to be paralyzed by fear, even when earthly leaders see unjust or unpredictable, we can walk that God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. And history is full of fallen leaders. You go back and read it. Fallen leaders. We got pharaohs, we got emperors, we got dictators, we got presidents, we got fallen leaders. And they all face the same eventual judgment. They face God. But God's kingdom still stands. God's kingdom still stands. And it stands firm. And though power can be used to harm, power can be used to hurt. That's what he goes on to say in verse 9, right? Power can be used to hurt. Authority is often abused. But that doesn't mean that we have to... What it does is the preacher's not led to revolt and for anger and fear in this passage. He's led to wisdom. There's something special about that. He's saying, you know what? People's authority can be used to hurt. If this is Solomon, which we believe it was, I wonder if he's reflecting on some of his own policies where he made mistakes. We have Hamruk records in his writings where he's made some mistakes, led people to hurt. Maybe he's reflecting on his own policies. Some of the policies of kings he's in relationship with. And he's saying, we could revolt, but instead we should focus on wisdom as Jesus Christ will show as he submits himself to, even to a corrupt authority. He submits himself to the authority. As he stands before Pilate, where he could have, people were on the verge of revolting. I don't know if you know much about the history of the Second Temple period. When Jesus was around, people were on the verge of having a military coup. Lots of people were raising up, trying to be, saying, I'm going to be the next leader. I'm going to lead us, the next Maccabeus. I'm going to lead us in a violent overthrowing, kicking the Romans out of Israel. They're on the verge. And yet Jesus, he could have called on, it says he could have even called the angels to get involved. He had a bigger army than just the people that were ready to revolt. He could have called the angels, let's do this. That would have been the easy way out. That would have been the easy way for him. But instead, he stands before Pilate and he's handed over to this unjust religious leader. And he's put to death. Not to stay dead, but to be raised, to resurrect. And his resurrection demonstrates God's sovereign plan. It can't be thwarted. It can't be overdone. It will work itself out because God is sovereign. He's king. And we know that human authority is flawed. We know that. God's authority, however, is perfect. It's just and it's eternal. And he doesn't always do it the way you want it to be done. We want the God who says, stop that. Strike him with lightning bolts because it hurts someone. But yet we have a God that is gentle and lets people make the mistakes and lets people hurt people. And that's not what we want. But he loves us. And in Christ, he died. Where he could have taken the easy way out and called the angels. If that's what one of the things that Satan's tempting him with, right? And when he's tempted in the desert, takes him up to the top of the highest place and says, see all this? I'll give you all this kingdom. That would have been the easy way. He can call the angels out, stop him from stubbing his toe. But yet, we see a king who never misuses his power, who's never oppresses, who laid down his life for people. And in Philippians 2:8, we're reminded that Jesus humbled himself. It says, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Which was the torture method at the time. And therefore God exalted him and gave him the name above all name. And one day every name will bow, every earthly power will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And as citizens of Christ's kingdom, we reflect his humanity, his wisdom, his courage. We're not supposed to be passive or naive, but we're supposed to be confident that God is working out even for people that are intending evil, even through flawed human systems. In a world filled with power struggles, in a world filled with injustice, in a world filled with uncertainty, wisdom teaches us not to panic. It teaches us not to just blindly rebel, but to trust in the one who reigns above it all. And whether you're dealing with difficult bosses, confusing political landscapes. Maybe you come from a church tradition where your pastor did some things. I don't know how many of you have had a conversation where you're still healing from when your pastor at that church did that thing. I remember one person in town here was telling me about her pastor committed murder and then ran off. And is now living somewhere else in a where they can't catch him. And I was like, it just blew my mind. And so she's like, I don't want to go to church right now. God is still on his throne. Despite all the human fallenness, God is still on the throne, and his purposes, they're never derailed by human missteps. He has given us wisdom to walk faithfully. He's given us wisdom to walk humbly, and he's given us wisdom to walk courageously, even under imperfect authorities. So let us be the people whose face shines, not with fear or frustration, but with the wisdom knowing that God is the King of Kings. And as we move into that time of response, I want to invite you to consider, how is God calling you to walk in wisdom today? Is there authority you've been resisting, perhaps with bitterness or frustration, instead of faith? Is there wisdom to respond in a way that reflects Christ, not with blind obedience, but with discernment, with humility, with trust that God is still on the throne? Maybe you've placed your hope in human leaders more than the Lord. What was that Instagram meme I saw the other day? Trump Jesus? If we thought one man could save us, then we've lost sight of the whole system. Maybe we've placed more hope in one human leader than the Lord. Politics, systems, bosses, they all have limits. Only God reigns forever. So we have to recenter our hearts on Christ's kingdom. Maybe we've put our hope on this side of this flag. I love it. But maybe we put too much hope in this side, and we've forgotten this side. This is a Christian flag, symbolizing Christ's kingdom. Have we submitted ourselves to Jesus Christ as our King? King Jesus. He's the ultimate authority. Yet he humbled himself for us, for you. So if there's someone in this room who has never trusted him as their Lord and Savior, never come and put their allegiance in him as King, when it comes to the invitation, I want to invite you to come down here and talk to me about that. Today is the time that we humble ourselves and say, you know what, I want to reflect Christ in this situation of confusing politics. I want to humble Christ in this time when I don't always agree with those in authority. I want to symbolize Christ as King. So that's what I invite you to do. We're going to go to a time of invitation. These eight, we're going to read verses 1-9. So if you've flipped over to that, Ecclesiastes 8:1-9. Let's go ahead and stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We don't do that very often. We'll do that this time. I like to bring in traditions from all the different groups, right? All right. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad curse, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since the king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you doing? Whoever obeys his commands will come to no harm. And the wise heart will know the proper time and the procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter. Though a person may be weighed down by misery, since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? And no one has the power over the wind to contain it. So no one has the power over the time of their death, and no one is discharged in time of war. So wickedness will not release those who practice it. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when man lords it over others to his own hurt. All right, let's pray. Father God, right now, I pray that you illuminate us as we read this passage, as we study, we seek to your word right now. Lord, I pray that your word would be upon us as we seek wisdom and the gift of your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, may be seated. Who is like the wise? It's interesting. He's talking about authority right here. But he doesn't start with looking at the authority. That's verse 2. He actually starts with wisdom. Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine. Wisdom, it transforms us. Wisdom is not just information. It's not just about how smart you are, and how many facts you can recite. Wisdom transforms you. Wisdom reshapes your posture. Wisdom, it softens you. It helps us to relate to others with grace, helps us be in right relationship with others, what the Bible called righteousness. You could be in righteousness with God, and you could be righteous with other people as you are in right relationship with others. There's some characters in the Bible like Noah, who was in righteous with all his relationships. Upwards and outwards. Wisdom transforms us. And if we are filled with the wisdom of God, our approach to authority, which is what he's going to be talking about, especially those who are difficult, those who may make decisions you think maybe we shouldn't, who disagree with you, if we going with wisdom, we're not going to be, the wisdom of God's not going to lead us to deal with those in authority with distrust, with bitterness, with negativity, with resentment, or even fear. Because isn't that our temptation? Our temptation is I wouldn't have made that decision. We start building up that resentment. I think we should be doing this way. Start building up that bitterness. Well, if I don't do it their way, they're going to have me arrested. That's the only way But when we're dealing with the wisdom of God, we're going to be in confidence that God is sovereign. That God is sovereign. He is sovereign over all nations. He is sovereign over all kings. He is sovereign over all gods. Think of Daniel. I thought of Daniel a lot when I was writing this sermon, because you got some amazing men of wisdom dealing with authority in that book, especially the early chapters. I mean, Daniel. He's taken into captivity where the people worship different gods. They see the world differently. They have different rules. They have different practices. They have different... And yet he had the wisdom that he portrays in there, even when he disagrees with the leaders, it's with respect and it's God-honoring. And that's what we should all be striving for, to be God-honoring, even when we disagree with a decision someone in authority has made. And the Koheleth, he continues on. He says, keep the king's command. Now, we don't have kings, despite what the protest said, right? We don't have kings, but we have people in authority over us. And he says, be cautious how you discern and discerning and how you engage with those people. And now, this isn't a blanket, blind, just be obedient. That's not what he's going for here. The preacher, he doesn't say submit to evil. Rather, he says avoid rash rebellion, which is often rooted in pride and fear. And isn't that one of the things we see often in our own lives? Whether it be with our bosses, our teachers, or on a political scale, we got where we're going up against, well, why? Fear? Pride? But instead, he wants us to be rooted in faith. If we're going to rebel, let it be in faith. And Daniel, there are places where he rebels against the king. Think about the time he prayed in the window when they told him, you can't do that. He said, I'm going to keep doing it. I've always done this. I'm going to keep doing it. Why? Because it's not about fear or pride. It's about faith. In Romans 13, we're reminded that there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. That means God has the whole... We've already preached through Romans, so I'm not going to do it again. God has turned over to the desires of our hearts, not your heart individually, our hearts, the rulers. And so sometimes we get the ruler that we really want. Look at the scriptures. They got the ruler that they wanted. Even if it wasn't what they needed, what God wanted for them, turned them over to the desires of their hearts. And God has put rulers in place, even if it's just to turn them over to the desires of our hearts. That doesn't mean that every leader is righteous, far be it, right? But it does mean that God is sovereign, still sovereign over all the rulers. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember them? Nebuchadnezzar, he says, you got to bow down to the chocolate bunny idol. Okay, so if you have not watched VeggieTales, I'm sorry. Nebuchadnezzar, he has an idol built, and he says, bow down to it, and they refuse. And it's remarkable. They show this courage and this trust. They're respectful. There's no way they're not just, hey, I'm going to do that. You're no king. You're not my king. They're respectful. But they also trust in God, and they say, with faith. And I like this. Whether God saves them or not. Oh, that's such an important part of that passage. Because a lot of times we focus on the, well, I'll follow you, God, if you'll save me. I'll follow you, God, if you'll do what I want you to do. I'll follow you, God, if... And they said, I'll follow God whether he chooses to save us from the fiery furnace or not. Whether we die in this fiery furnace. A lot of times we forget that or not. And he says, I'll serve you. And so it's about faith. It's about faith. And we know that there is a limit to what kings are. In the Koheleth, he goes on. He says, even kings, no matter how powerful they are, right? Whether they're good kings or horrible kings, right? We've had horrible kings in history, right? Pharaohs and empires. And we go back in history. You can see that no matter how bad they are, no matter how powerful they are. And we've had people in history that have controlled the known world. No matter how powerful they are, there are some things that they can't beat. Like death. No man has the power to retain the spirit or the power over the day of death, it says. They don't know the future. Some of them act like they do, right? But they don't know the future. They can't avoid death, no matter how much money or power they have. Their commands may be enforced now, and often they're enforced by military might. But their end reaches at the grave. And that's humbling. That's a humbling truth for both the powerful and the weak. For both the leaders and the followers. Death is equal, a great equalizer. They're not gods. Some of them may claim to be gods, but they're not gods. And under authority, even when we disagree, we don't need to be paralyzed by fear. Even in a nation that's not like ours, where you may die, because God chooses to save us or not. Even when earthly leaders seem unjust or unpredictable, we can walk in the wisdom and peace that God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. No matter how big the emperors are, no matter how big the pharaohs are, no matter how dictators, they face judgment. And yet the kingdom of God still stands. No matter how much they abuse the authority. And authority does get abused often, doesn't it? Now, I'm thinking about this. This is the Koheleth, this teacher, this preacher. If he is Solomon, which we believe he is, you wonder if he's thinking back on his own life? His own mistakes? Because he was king. He's thinking about his own, where I screwed up. As he's searching for wisdom and he's looking back and says, you know what, I hurt person here. I made the wrong choice there. Come to his end of his life and he says, you know what, I did really good right here, but... Looking at the people around him, the kings that he knew, all around him. He's in communication with some of them. He's getting letters from some of them. He's at war with others, and or fixing to go to war with others. And he sees the abuse of power. But that doesn't lead him. He doesn't say we should despair or revolt over that abuse. He says we should, that leads us to a place of wisdom. And he says what we need to do is emulate, and this is where I'm going to jump to the future a little bit because he doesn't know this yet. We need to jump to Jesus. Jesus himself submitted to the corrupt authorities. I mean, can you imagine Jesus? It said that he could call the angels down, and they'll fight for him. Stop him from stubbing his toe. Israel, at the time Jesus is born, is on the verge of a major civil war, revolt. Several people are saying the next Messiah is going to be just like Maccabeus. Maccabeus kicked the Greeks out of Israel. And they said, we're going to have another Maccabeus that's going to kick the Romans out of Israel. And they're this close. They're ready. They're ready for a revolt. They're ready to take up arms and have a revolution. And Jesus, he could have gone that route. He had the power. He had the authority over both man. He had a following and angels, the heavenly host. But yet he stands before Pilate. Yet he stands before corrupt religious leaders. And he dies. And he chooses to die. Now that's not the way I like to, that's not the kind of God I like. I don't like that image, do I? I want the God who's going to say, strike it down with a lightning bolt, anyone who disagrees with me. Especially me, right? Anyone who's going to hurt me, you just strike them down. But yet we have a God who's gracious. We have a God who's humble. We have a God who chooses to let human beings have a choice to do good things and to do really horrible things. And Christ's death, his resurrection, he demonstrates that God's plan, even though they planned it for evil, he used it for good. Human authority is flawed. It's messed up. We see right from the beginning of chapter 3 in Genesis that we don't choose good and bad very well. We mess it up. But God, his authority is perfect. His authority is just. It's eternal. And in Christ, we see the only king who'll never misuse the power. The only king who never oppresses. Because if he was to go in and say, you know what, I want it my way, I'm going to zap anyone with a lightning bolt that doesn't do my way, wouldn't he be the oppressor? He said, I'm not going to misuse my authority that way. I'm not going to oppress. We see Jesus who laid down his life for his people. Philippians 2:8 reminds us that Jesus was that humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. Death on a cross, which when we think of cross, we see them everywhere, right? In front of them right there. Some of you got them on your necklaces. I see some of you guys got them on ties and shirts. No, that's like having a torture device. So even death on the most shameful, torturous method that he came to die for, where he'd be shamed. And he humbled himself to that point. And because he did that, God exalted him above all names, so that one day every power on earth will bow. Every name will confess. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Or, in other words, King. Jesus is King. He's the ruler above all other rulers. He's bigger than any authority in your life. He's the ruler over all of them. And as a citizen of Christ's kingdom, our role is to reflect his humility, his wisdom, his courage. We're not passive. We're not naive. We're confident that God's purpose is being worked out even through a flawed human system. And in a world full of power struggles and injustices and uncertainty and corruption, and wisdom teaches us not to panic, but to trust. Trust the one who reigns above it all. And whether we're dealing with a difficult teacher or a difficult boss or a confusing person in the political landscape or even spiritual leaders that have fallen. I had a neighbor that she won't go to church. She's still hurling from church harm. See, her pastor of the church she went to, I'm not going to tell you where or what, committed murder and ran from the police. And so she's dealing with church hurt. And she's, I don't know if I can go back to church right now. Spiritual leaders sometimes fall short. Some of you are going through, maybe not that extreme. But some of you know that. God is still on the throne no matter what you're dealing with, what kind of authority you're dealing with. And His purposes are never derailed by human missteps. Praise God, right? He's given us the wisdom to walk faithfully. He's given us the wisdom to walk humbly. He's to walk courageously, even under imperfect authorities. Even to show grace. So let us be the people whose face shines with not fear or frustration, but with wisdom that comes from knowing that the King of Kings. And so as we move to a time of invitation, we move to a time of response, I'm going to invite you to consider how God is calling you to work, to walk in wisdom today. Is there an authority you've been resisting that perhaps you've been bitter, frustrated, not dealing with in faith? Ask God for wisdom to respond in a way that reflects Christ, not with blind obedience, but with discernment and humility and trusting that God is still on the throne. Maybe you're in the place where you've put more faith, more hope in a human than in the Lord. I saw a meme the other day on Instagram that it said Trump and then Jesus. And if you think one man can solve the problems, you don't know how any of the system works. Political systems, bosses, they all have their limits. Teachers, everyone has their limits. Only God reigns forever. So we have to recenter our hearts on His kingdom. And most importantly, if you have never submitted yourself to Jesus as King, if you've never said, you know, I'm going to switch my allegiance from the path of destruction to Jesus Christ, we often call it accepted Jesus in your heart. Not that He's going to come live in your left ventricle and take away all those years of eating all that bad food. But He comes and the Holy Spirit lives within you. And we switch our allegiance over to Him. If we've never given Him the ultimate authority, then now's the time to do that. Trusting Him. Today's the day that we trust in the one who rules with grace, with truth, with authority. Father God, right now I praise You. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds be focused on you, that our lives be lifted up to you.